work in accordance with what they find to be the progressives within that signal area that needs to be have representation on the board, would come up here, let's say, as far as I am. I'm not part of any of those constituencies. I don't think my community is. So are we going to, let's say people like me or like my constituency, are we going to have some sort of representation? Are we going to ask for our constituency to be put on? And if we do, how are you going to define us? I mean, there are many, many people of the same collective that I come from is Southeast Asian, North African, and we are different people with different cultural issues and all, but we can do a program together. However, I don't know if it comes to political representation on a board that has power, if we could come together and have, let's say, ask for a seat, or if we do, how are you going to do that? So you keep having constituencies asking for more seats and more seats, and how are we going to respond to that? So that is a problem that needs to be answered in that model, I think.
Okay, next is Raphael.
The subcommittee of the bylaws committee basically selected me to represent the hybrid model. And I've heard a lot of partial knowledge and partial analysis of the hybrid model, some of it correct and some of it off base. Suffice to say...
Could you please explain that we're not... promoting the hybrid model?
Because I was going to ask that question. Yeah, if you are, because I didn't. I was confusing.
Well, we also have people who are going to represent the KPFK model. We're going to have people. We designated people.
No, but what? Go ahead.
Nice interrupt. You don't need to designate them.
Okay, please.
Yeah. Let me see if I can just lay out in really simple terms what the hybrid model is about. But before I do that, let me tell you that there is a precedent in Los Angeles for this kind of model being accepted. The KPFK listeners group approved pretty close to unanimously a modified constituency model back a couple of years ago. And the thing that we did was very much like what the hybrid model does. We had people nominated for constituencies, but we overcame, we thought, the problem of cronyism by having the people nominated from constituencies be elected by the listenership at large, so that, anybody who's running from a constituency had to appeal across constituencies and to the general voter pool in order to be able to win, so that you couldn't just have an organization like the Bus Riders Union just appoint its head to the lab or something, all right? So there is a precedent in Los Angeles for this kind of thing being taken seriously. I don't think that it should be just dismissed out of hand as some kind of very complex, problematic thing, because actually the truth of the matter is that it's not. The essence of it, the principles behind it, are really pretty simple. The two main principles behind the model are, number one, that you're going to have diversity criteria anyway. Okay. The question is just what Dave raised a moment ago. Do you specify within those diversity criteria that all people of color are the same without separate unique interests? Or do you recognize that Los Angeles is 40 to 50% Latino and you want to set aside a certain amount of seats for Latinos? That you recognize that Asians are underrepresented at KPFK, so you want to set aside certain seats for Asians and that kind of thing? That's number one. So the only real difference, and you got to realize, when you're talking about a hybrid model, you're not talking about a hybrid constituency model.
That's 15 seconds.
Huh?
We were timing and giving you 2 minutes, so that would be 15 more seconds.
Giving the same time as lab members.
Oh, I didn't know speed lab members holding themselves to 2 minutes. Okay.
Now you get 15 seconds because we were clarifying.
Maybe 30 more seconds. Maybe 30.
So the first point is that all it does is break down a constituency that you have already established, a diversity requirement that you already have established. The second point is that it allows communities to nominate their own representatives through some kind of process, not much different than the collectives and not much different than what you did with the program council. It is also not much different than what the U.S. Congress does when it sets aside districts, when it creates congressional districts like a congressional district in South
Are
Africa.
You, so are you guys supporting it or not?
No.
I was chosen to argue on behalf of it.
Okay? Oh, okay.
Is anybody supporting it?
I'm arguing on behalf of it.
Oh, I see. You are arguing on behalf of it.
I am arguing on behalf of it.
He's supporting it, too.
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, but he's done arguing.
And he's now had four.
I mean, besides Raphael, is anybody supporting?
And Raphael just said the same.
Can you finish your sentence and then we'll...
Okay.
It's not, the conversation's not going to end.
Effectively, it's not much different than what Congress... Please. Effectively, it's not much different than what Congress does when it establishes a district in South Central or in East L.A. or in Pico Union so that those people are represented. This is not like a radical, crazy idea.
Okay. Next is Leslie.
Madam Chair, can I indulge, sir? Could I ask one question of Raphael for clarity here?
Yes.
Raphael, here is a question for you. The term, and I... In all respect, with due respect to people here who do not believe what I'm going to say is true, but I'm just going to, for purposes, the term Latino, Hispanic, Latina, these terms apply to Cubans, Venezuelans, Salvadorians, Mexicanos, Chicanos, Chicanas. How can a constituency method of actually be organized so that these competing communities, I can see in response to something a board member said, where Venezuelans would come forward and ask for a slot. Certainly Salvadorians do not. Salvadorians do not identify often, especially during soccer games, with Mexicanos. And there is such a wide diversity among these slots. I oppose this model partly because it's impossible to slot people that narrowly. So let's say, how would you deal with Cubans, Salvadorians, Venezuelans, Mexicanos, and Chicanos all wanting a seat because they do not believe that the word Latino covers them?
Because 50% of our lab
didn't
do their homework.
I don't think that's an answer that
RPL
should address.
Please, don't ask me to. Someone. Simply put, under the hybrid model as has been put forward, it would be up to each lab, as contrary to what Lydia was suggesting, it would be up to each lab to determine for themselves what their constituencies would be. It would be in your court. You obviously have a contradiction. You have a contradiction of lumping all people of color together without differentiation to their interests, on one hand, which I think might be considered extreme, versus breaking it down into infinitely small groups, which would also, I think, be extreme. I think there's a way to hit a happy medium.
Okay, Leslie?
Well, I'm getting clearer. I guess my big question left is, how is this different than KPFA plus constituencies? Because there's a core group in this, as I read it, the at-large members, that are pretty much in accord, elected pretty much in accord with the KPFA model. And the constituencies are up to the individual labs if they want to go in that direction. That would be my first question. And my second would be, as I understand it, the lab decides what the constituencies are, and that builds a certain degree of responsiveness to what's happening sociologically and culturally in the community into the system, where the 50% doesn't allow for that flexibility.
Okay, Margalo, you had a point of information.
2 minutes, 90 seconds.
I'm giving you 2 minutes.
I just wanted to clarify that when Dave was talking, Dave Hurtig was talking about the voting and made reference to California allowing cumulative voting and made reference to other states perhaps being different, that as a California corporation, all of the voting will be according to California law. And that was the point that I wanted to make. There won't be any difference by states at all, strictly according to California law. And then I also wanted to say that the original constituency model would provide a problem with voting classes if the hybrid model only refers to nominations, but the voting would be the same around all of the stations, then that would not be a problem as far as the law is concerned.
Okay, you want to pass it back to Vince? He's next.
No, have the line.
Yes, we're after. Yeah, after like this list, we're going to go to public comment.
But we've just been trying to get him on this stack for a while now.
Okay. This deck is part of a committee from carried over from the last meeting. We're going to...
Vince is not part of it.
We're going to go... Okay, but he was part of the agreement from the last lab meeting that you were going to incorporate all the proponents of the various proposals. That's not... If that's not applicable...
But what they're saying is... What they're saying is they have a segmented presentation.
No, I understand that, but the agreement originally before the last lab meeting... At Crescent was that if the subcommittee was going to make formal presentations, that it needed to incorporate representatives from the other election proposal from the other bylaws proposals, and part of that dynamic was Margalow at that time. And some were you doing PAC? Who was doing PAC?
Yeah,
Sarah was doing PAC.
Meeting, the agreement was that we present the various aspects. Now,
I haven't agreed with anybody. I haven't never talked to you about this since I got back from the IPMB meeting. That was my thing, was to be, like, inclusive. So if you want to do your own thing, I think that the lab can elect to include representatives from the other proposals that people have worked on for years and then include all public comment.
But can you do that outside of the stack sort of agreement?
But KPFK is not the unity model is being discussed now.
We've only included people from the proponents of it. Okay. Vince?
That's a 2 minute set here, Vince.
Okay. I'm opposed to the constituency model, however hybridized it is, for the reasons that Dave articulated, but that's not why I stood up. I stood up because of what I'm reading here in the KPFA resolution, apparently passed yesterday. It says in item 3, the KPFA lab reserves the right under the legal settlement agreement to approve or disapprove the final bylaws provisions for the number of local station members after we receive the final blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Does that mean that each of the local boards has the opportunity to vote up or down on each provision of the recommended bylaws? In other words, after the Pacifica board comes up, and maybe I'm reading this incorrectly, item number 3.
Right.
I can respond to that.
Look, mm-hmm. It says... Regarding the number of local station members, I think that the local advisory boards retain the power to pass upon those provisions which govern the number and manner of election of local board members. That's expressly stated almost verbatim from the settlement. So the fact that we're doing a straw poll now, as Leslie Kagan has repeatedly said, is merely to give the National Board a sense of where we're headed. There will be a final draft provided to the local boards for their approval on those issues.
So there may or may not be 5 different ways of doing these.
No, hopefully not.
I know why they put that part in there. Can I? I think I know. I think because Bernie and Mark Hernandez suggested on the email list, on the bylaw list, that if we at this moment vote down or up one of the elections model, we as a lab would lose the possibility to vote on the whole bylaw. So they inserted that in their resolution when they approved. This is their response to the IPMB. Basically, they're saying that we reserve the right to be able to vote up or down the rest of the bylaws. If we are not, then, you know, nothing counts, basically. So that's what we should do as well.
And that's fine as a precaution, but the status is we'll have a subsequent vote. This will not be a final vote, whatever we do today.
Okay. Next is Tom.
Yes, I agree with Margalow that the California rule does state that it's the state of incorporation. Number 2, PAC, myself, do believe that the KPFA model is much better than the New York model. Sally Marr and Veronica, who sit on this lab, are not able to be here today, are also believe that the KPFA model is a better model. The New York model fosters differences as far as we're concerned. And also, it's very complicated and difficult to administer, folks. Very, very difficult. And last but not least is that KPFA model has been worked already twice, and has developed a very diverse set of lab members up there. Whether you want to change the voting of the lab, you know, something that Dave had mentioned, that's another question. But the diversity, both geographically and of people of interest and color, is very diverse in the lab up there. So I'm definitely for the basic model of KPFA, but I do have some suggestions when we get down to that.
Yes, and I wanted to couple my opposition to the model with the notion that I had raised at the IPMB meeting, which was to diversify the candidacy. So if we have, let's say, 50%, as KPFA is suggesting, that we also have 50% that we make the effort at the candidate level, so that we have 50% of the candidates meet that requirement, that threshold, so that it's not all on the back end, whereby, you know, through proportional representation where 4 seats are reserved, et cetera, so even if they get lesser votes, it's far more important to our community and the community building to try to do that outreach up front. So that was like, so there are several, you know, alternatives to this. It's not that a lot of people don't feel really, aren't supportive of diversity, as obviously I am, but that this model we didn't think it would be.
Okay.
Bernie? Now, would you please, may I ask you, is Luis part of your committee? I can't
yes,
tell. Okay.
Yes.
And then are you guys going to pick spokespeople during the various things, or how are you, what is your internal mechanism now, since I clearly misunderstood?
Well, it's very difficult for us to
relate to what we're doing.
That's
okay.
Exactly right.
Luis and then Bernie.
But if we could speak as a group on each of the models, that would be best for us.
Right now we heard from Raphael for it.
Extremely.
And is there somebody in your committee that's speaking against it, or is your committee all for the supporting the hybrid model?
No, we're not all.
No, they want clarity on both.
Okay, can I hear from Luis and Bernie?
Come on, Luis, come on.
Yes, come on.
Because they had their hands raised. And then if you have another formal presentation, go ahead and make it.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify Don White's question because we did have a Latina colectivo or collective. Because of the generic term, we decided to change our name. So we have a collective that's comprised of Chicano Mexicano community, Central and South Americans, and we changed the name to Community Radio Sporty KPFK in Spanish. Also, it strikes me as racist to say, even though there is no such thing as race, but racism is alive and well, that because now we have a constituencies of peoples of color, communities of color, that want to nominate our own candidates and represent, or have our own people represented, to now say that we're being isolationists, that we're being divisive, because it was perfectly okay to have that imposed on our communities when it was a white dominant community, and now that the things have changed, we demand our right to represent ourselves. Thank you.
Do you support the hybrid model?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Bernie, and then Kwasi.
Perhaps I should explain a little bit of what Farah was mentioning about what I think the proper strategy for this lab should be, which essentially was supported by Mark Hernandez in Fresno, and he's also on the KPFA lab, is that my feeling is that you should not select either of these models, and that you should bear in mind that even though you are instructed by the settlement agreement to vote strictly on the manner and mode of your own representation and election, that is not necessarily what you need to adhere to. Even if you love the manner and mode of your election, of station board elections, you can reject it if you don't like something else that's in the bylaws when the whole package is presented to you, and I think you should reserve that power for yourself, because that, in fact, is the only power that you have for yourselves and to represent this community out here.
Okay.
Now, I want to talk about the constituency model. First of all, you need to realize that when you talk about this hybrid model as being a New York model, it is not a New York model. The New York's bylaws subcommittee rejected this model out of hand. The people who promulgated this model met separately and privately in closed meetings and created one constituency model after another until we finally have this so-called hybrid model that Donna Gould was trying to promote as a peacemaking effort. As we've already heard, Barb Lederer is on the warpath, lobbying and calling people here, called Dave Adelson, called Farah, right, probably called other people. I mean, this is a small group of people that does not represent New York, so please do not call it a New York model. It is not a New York model. not only now one of the problems in New York also is that the lab ignored a petition of 500 signatures which rejected this constituency model. They were presented with it. Now I don't expect you guys are very receptive and responsive, you know, to us out here. New York is not that way. The lab is very insular, and they have. And can you imagine if we came to you with 500 signatures, would you ignore us? No, you would not.
No. Okay.
It scared the hell out of us.
just one final point. One final point. That if the lab has, for instance, in New York has, or in any place, has got a, well, I will just characterize as a power structure formation, and it is now empowered to select a constituency. What constituency do you think they will select?
Okay. Now, Kwasi, wait. I'm conducting the meeting. Kwasi is next. We have a list.
I still want to speak.
I know. Kwasi is next. We have a list.
Well, what I wanted to say is I still want to speak, but I would
have
like
Roger
to
on
defer
the list.
To the listener folks, particularly those working with the group, that I want to hear.
Okay,
more.
Then it's Roger. Kwasi defers to Roger.
And then like
Harrison.
I like to speak when they're done.
Roger and then Harrison, right?
He wants to be
One thing that bothers me a lot about the constituency model is that there's no articulated provision for changes that's clear to me. For instance, populations in areas change. And people that are already selected in these constituencies are probably going to oppose additional people being added. And to me, that's one of the basic flaws. The other major point that I'd like to make is that I see this as basically a straw dog that's been thrown up in opposition to the KPFA model as something that is known, a known no-starter. Okay, all of the labs, four of the five labs have already been online to say that they don't support this. We know that. All of the bylaw subcommittees in every single area have publicly announced they don't support it.
Is that yours also?
It was in terms of the our promotion of the KPFK model, okay? And we have reconsidered in some aspects because of the absolute guarantees that around diversity that are helpful. But okay. What I'm seeing basically is something where we have a phony choice between something that we know is going to be thrown away, the unity model, and the KPFA model, you know, intact. And so I would agree that, you know, we need to look at the KPFA model if we're going to do that very carefully and modify it where necessary. But I see it as a phony choice.
Harrison?
To follow up on what Roger is saying, what the straw dog is hiding, in my opinion, is the KPFK model.
Yeah.
The lab has already approved several features of the KPFK model.
Which are distinct and different.
Which are somewhat different from the KPFA model. And of course, I believe superior.
And in the PMB?
Huh?
The unity?
You said the lab has already approved. Can you mean the PMB?
No,
I did not.
He means the five principles of the unity model.
No, we have a superior grandfathering provision. We have diversity requirements instead of what are actually goals in the KPFA proposal. We have programming council. And I've probably forgotten something else, I need to
pass. Kwasi, do you want to hear from Raphael, or do you want to speak?
Go ahead, Raphael.
Well, just very quickly, I mean, one of the problems we face here is the limits in time. It's like doing constitutional law in you know, sound bites. But suffice to say that it's very difficult to understand the advantages of either the KPFK model or the hybrid model. Out of the context of having already addressed the weaknesses in the KPFA model, which we spent quite a bit of time doing yesterday, we discovered some new flaws in the KPFA model that just floored us, that we didn't understand were there before, that really need some corrective measures, whatever those corrective measures are. And so I'm almost tempted to ask the lab to not make a vote on any one model until you consider them all.
Okay. I guess there were a couple of remarks that were made that I have some concerns about. One is Personally, I favor there being some type of nationally agreed approach to how some of these issues are defined. There's so much confusion, and it's a little disconcerting, to be honest with you, to be in a highly political grouping like this and realize that people are all over the place in terms of how they understand issues such as ethnicity, race, national oppression, etc. These are complex issues, but they're very important to understand the distinctions. And I think that there really needs to be a clearly agreed national basis for all of the stations to implement on these questions. Okay. Number two, I think that the question of representation of groups, which Dave spoke to, Dave Adelson spoke to, I think is also very critical. And I think that we could perhaps resolve that by having some type of language that says roughly equivalent to the demographic representation of groups within the Signal area. You know, it cannot be perfectly that way. I mean, there's a danger in trying to apply formulas to resolve basically a political problem. But we can ensure better representation of a range of groups by ensuring that representation is roughly equivalent to the broad breakdown of population groups in a Signal area. And within that, I think obviously it gets very complicated if you have, you know, in the LA area, perhaps, I don't know, 25 or 30 Asian nationalities, or the question of South Central American nationalities being quite a range of groups, and also the African world representation. But if there's representation broadly from within those groups, I think that's essentially all that we can do realistically.
Driving a brown station wagon.
Brown Toyota. Station wagon, Toyota. He's got to move it. Who has the list now?
I do.
Okay, so we're going to go to listener comment now, starting with Dan. Do you have anything on this issue?
Could I make a comment now? I just have a comment about the elections. It looks like. We're now seeing possibly April, May as being the time that we're going to be electing lab members. And at KPFA, they've already had two elections. So I think that if we got busy, maybe we could actually start working on this and have some elections before that time. I think it's really important to have an elected lab.
Dan, did you have a comment? No, you don't remember. You want to delay it till later?
Yes, there are.
Who's another Dan? Oh, was that yours? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a big Dan.
Oh, okay.
Is that a real Dan or a Sears? No, at this point, I'm going to reserve comment.
Okay, till next. Yes. Okay, next.
This would be Utaka.
Utaka?
He's outside.
Bella? Right here. And wait, let me do
the next two. People would be Mansoor, Alfredo, and Gordon.
Gordon. So if any of those are there,
Alfredo?
Then please come up behind us.
Okay. And Gordon. Donis?
Okay, go ahead. Let's get started.
Okay, this is to address these points, or this is general comments? General comments, not yet, right?
No.
Okay. So I agree with what I've heard that it should not be called, the first one should not be classified as New York. It's just another venue to get to the end result. I also think that KPFK would be wiser to adopt its own platform based on its own makeup of citizenry, of support of communities here in LA. I lived in New York for many years, so I know exactly what the 13 constituencies may be, and I know how difficult it would be for anyone else to penetrate beyond that. So we don't want that here. We don't want to repeat that here. So let's adopt. We know what the mission statement is. We know what our points of unity are. Let's adopt the models that best represent in a democratic and you know, seamless, as the gentleman here said, it's very difficult. I'm from the Caribbean islands, and I, you know, that's a whole new world out there, too. So I'm not a Chicana. I am not Central America. I am not South America, but I am a Latina person, and Haiti is next door. Then we've got Cuba, which is also part of the Caribbeans. So we have to be just a little bit more... I don't know. You have to become more savvy and intellectualize that they're not everybody of the same color comes from the same.
So, would you support the hybrid model or not?
I'm up for more conversation on it.
Okay,
that's what I. Yeah.
It'd be Hugh and Hector and Poké.
Hector who?
Hector brother.
This is short. I don't like the hybrid model.
Not even here.
I think it adds an almost infinite level of complexity for an incremental increase in diversity. I think there's other ways to do it. I think we're all for diversity. That's all.
Okay, and then we have Hope and Dele.
And you had a wonderful thing on the web, too.
You have to get on the stack. Okay, who's next?
No. I'll add you down here, Dele.
Some quick points on the elections issue. I listened to Mr. Green at the Pacific and Owl workshops in Berkeley, and he's excellent. I would suggest that you listen to him. He's very experienced in a lot of the issues. Two of the things that he mentioned was that the nominations committee and the elections committee, that is the people who run the actual physical election, be completely separate so that people who nominate do the really important outreach to generate candidates, but that they don't advocate candidates, and that they are disallowed from doing that. That was one of his main points. And that the outreach period is probably more important than the actual running of the election, because that guarantees that you have good candidates. And if you spend some time with him, he will elaborate a whole lot of other things about what the mechanics were, how KPFA ran its elections, what they thought they needed to change, and what worked and didn't work. He's great. So
I strongly feel that he needs to come down here and speak to all of us at a public meeting, like at Loyola.
Why didn't we have him here today?
Because he couldn't come down. It's not like we're not inviting people. Okay. John?
He's coming.
John? Oh.
90 seconds or what?
Yes,
yeah. I oppose the constituency hybrid model. I call it the continually mutating pig in a poke model, because it changes all the time. You guys aren't even sure which one you have right now. It changed at the IPNB, and they sent out another one. It changes continually. It's just a mess. It'll be a maintenance nightmare. It's easily gamed, because the people that are who define the constituencies can define them to their own benefit. It's a gerrymandering opportunity. Instead, I strongly encourage proportional representation with the single transferable voting. That's your best guarantee of having diversity. Also, too, with regard to the diversity thing, I think that if you do the outreach, you'll get the good candidates, and you can also break ties with diversity criteria if you want. That's enough for right now. I have more thoughts, but that's it. Thank you.
Okay, and I think during this period, I think we're going to take one more comment, and that's Margola.
I just wanted to point out one glaring flaw with this constituency model, which I haven't heard mentioned before, which is that all the different 13 constituencies, there's only one seat set aside for women, who are about 53% of the population in urban areas. And it strikes me as just nutty.
Good point. Thank you.
Did you want to make a comment?
No, I want to be sure that the rest of the names are still.
You're on there. You're okay. You're number 21.
Okay.
So we're finished with this new comment, and we should go on to whatever's next.
Yeah.
Okay. So I need to say that. But what is next?
Just finish the list of listeners.
Okay, the people that I have left are Dele, and I believe you want to go later, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mark Fairjohn, Fairmares. Either of you want to go now?
I can go later.
And Mark?
Did I hear my name?
Yes. Okay, so I should cross you off. Okay. So Fairmares and Dele later, and we're done for now.
Okay. Now I want to take a second straw poll to see if the lab, particularly those that abstained, but any of us.
Did you want to go back on for a later period?
Okay, I'm going to take a new straw poll. Yes? Oh, okay. The KPFA, but we're not voting on KPFA. We're only voting on constituency. Right. I want to see from the lab if they feel more informed on constituency model. That's what we have been focusing on during this period of time. Because the constituency model was not a full election model. It was addressing only one component. So, it wasn't even appropriate, in my opinion, to say it was constituency model versus KPFA model. It should have been the KPFK model and the PAC model versus the KPFA model, not the hybrid model. That's not a. It was not an election model except for that one dynamic, that one component. So I just want to settle this issue and keep it on the table.
Could I make one statement?
Okay, one more comment.
Just really short.
Okay, very short. Really short.
I think that there are many flaws with the hybrid model. I think that it is, we are having a crucial debate. I think we should put this on the table and come back to this debate at a future time.
Okay, we're going to take another straw poll to see where we are right now. This does not have to be our final straw poll on this issue, but I do want to see. It'll depend on how many abstentions.
Can I make one comment before we do that?
What is
with relation to the proportional representation model?
Hybrid model?
With relation to the proportional representation model, in the absence of the designated constituencies and so forth, recognize that the proportional representation process would allow, for example, in Los Angeles or Southern California, we have approximately 18,000 members and about, I think it would be 18 seats, non-staff seats. You'd roughly need someone, if we had a 10% turnout, you'd need roughly in the neighborhood of 200 votes to get elected to the board. This would allow real diversity if people wanted to coalesce around a particular candidate. So I think that we should recognize that even without the so-called constituency model, there's quite a strong avenue for achieving that level of diversity.
But we need to keep general because there are probably a dozen different ways that we can address diversity. And right now what I want, after we get a comment from Dave Adelson, is to go to a second straw vote, not the final. Okay. Straw vote.
What's the question? Are we voting on the model or are we voting whether we
on
understand?
On hybrid only.
On the model or whether
yes,
we understand
the Yes,
the
same
model?
Vote we had before. If you do not understand, you vote. You abstain.
I'm going to make a comment.
Non-binding.
I respect Roger very much, but I do disagree on this point. I do believe that.
Hey, come on. Hey.
I do believe that we should make a some type of a straw vote decision today because they're going to deal with it, the IPNB, next week. So we have to do it. We cannot put it off, okay?
Okay.
I'd like
okay,
to move
so
that we table this until after the discussion of the KPFA model.
Second. I don't see the
all those in favor of tabling?
What are we tabling?
A straw vote on the...
Tabling the straw vote.
Until after the discussion.
Right, and I'm. This is not a final straw vote. I simply want to see how we're progressing. What is the objection to that? I want to see, did we glean any information through this first phase?
Because I've seen straw votes at the PNB, and they seem awfully binding.
I'm but
being a little bit pregnant.
I mean, I learned something, but I just don't see the point of a straw vote. That's fine.
Okay, all those in favor of tabling? Okay, so I just want to have a quick straw vote. All those in favor of the hybrid model? All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And all those abstaining?
Doug, Quasi, and Leslie. And you
okay, so we are making progress.
There was
clarification and information gleaned, and it did affect the SLEP. And by the way, Leslie, that is the difference between how we're doing it here and what the IPMB is not doing. Thank you. Okay, now we can go on to some more amplified discussion. Can we go into another? What are some of the options? What are some of the? Oh well, let me ask the people who have abstained. Are you abstaining because you're still unclear, and if I can hear from all three people, or are you abstaining because you would like to hear what we would put into place instead of this in order to attain diversity? Is that basically it for all three of you?
I want to hear all the options. I want to hear all the discussion before I take a vote on anything.
Yeah,
okay, but then let's focus on that one issue from the various models that are being offered on diversity. We have the KPFA model, which says 50%.
Wait, where is it exactly? Let me not.
Is that the same as the union?
No. This is coming out of KPFA, and they added this number. Which number are we here? Okay.
Are you referring to the resolution or their model? Which one are you?
Well, there is it, but it's their model now. Okay. It's their revised model, okay. Which is that they endorse the requirement, and so it's not a goal, it's a requirement that at least half, 50% of the, oh, this is of the IPMB. Wait a minute. Where did they do their 50%? Oh, here it is. At least 50% of all local station board members must be self-designated people of color. And at least half must be women. So at least 50%, 50%. That's the KPFA model. Okay. So that's like a springboard, and we can go into the other models. And then we throw in elements like I am proposing 50% of the candidates actually be self-identified people of, and we can work with that because some people object to people of color as well because there are their ethnicities, blah, blah, that are not necessarily discernibly black or brown, for example. And Dave Adelson?
You need the mic. I have another proposal, which is you mentioned the pegging diversity to the population of the signal area, but I was thinking of saying something like not more than, you know, some percentage of the board coming from particular constituencies and including in that things like Anglo-American or the rest, so that you have a set of groupings that that if somebody self-identifies, for example, as Caribbean or something, that might fall within some larger grouping that has been agreed upon. And you say, not more than the board will come out of any one of these sectors. So that way you get a great deal more diversity in your board, because you say once there have been that many that come from that constituency or that sector, that's enough representation from that area. That would be another way of doing it.
Can you word it so that, you know, like not more than a certain percentage comes from any one constituency?
Yeah, that there would be some group of categories that would be established, and you would say not more than whatever is an appropriate percent, 25%, 33%. And then in addition to that, that's a negative, that's a limit, and then some positive things would say at least
50%.
Exactly.
So you're doing ranges.
Upper and lower limits.
Yeah,
if you're doing a minimum.
Essentially, but that way so that you wouldn't get something like where you would have, you know, 45% of the board is Anglo, 45% of the board is Latina, and there's one person from some other constituency on the board.
How would you enforce it, though?
The way you would enforce it would be the way you do it now with the diversity requirements, which is once you've gotten a certain number of votes, the top vote getters in each of those categories, then the remaining people who cast votes for those people cascade down to their second choice until you get to people who do not come from that category. In other words, once you count it up to, it takes 250 votes to get elected. Once you count the first 250 votes for X number of people and this category is now full,
the remaining voters, their votes cascade down to their second or third or whoever's in a remaining open category.
But is this,
it's like single transferable voting.
Self-identification?
So it's tier by tier filtration.
And
what Bernie said.
What did you say?
Just define something that had another factor. A standard STV, only when you reassign the fractional votes, you go down to the next sector if that particular sector has been fulfilled.
Right. And you could establish those categories in some, you know, broad way so that it wouldn't be too difficult. But anyhow, this is just another possibility to make matters more complex and extend discussion.
Okay. Now, the committee, Harrison, are you the one representing this section from your... Who's representing this?
I'm going to just say that there are other categories besides people of color and women. Certainly youth. I know in FMLN party elections in El Salvador, they mandate youth. You can set it an age because they're trying to get youth on the political commission of the FMLN. Sexual orientation, there are other places where we should also, you know, consider this as well.
Those are the constituencies listed in the hybrid model. Are those?
Yeah, but I don't support the hybrid
elderly,
model.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's included in that.
Thank you. Did you say the elderly?
Yes.
Right. Oh.
Okay. Okay. So, has your committee decided? If not, I'll get Pac and Margalo. I'll get Vince and Margalo. Who's prepared? Harrison.
If
a diversity alternative from whatever your model is.
So I would come after Margalo and Vince.
Or you could go first. I asked you first. No? Okay. Margalo and then Vince. Vince for PAC. Was there a diversity requirement in the PAC bylaws on the elections?
There
yeah.
is. It's very similar to the one from JDFA.
So you'd be comfortable with 50-50? Okay. So now, yes.
It's 50 minimum.
What about
it's
the threshold?
It's a 50 minimum.
What about the threshold, Vince? Where's PAC on the threshold?
50-50. That's the threshold. It's 50% minimum.
Can I just say 1 second to clarify?
Yeah, if you want to get into a discussion, feel free.
Yeah, don't have a heart attack. That's right. Excuse me. I got to collect myself a bit.
Vince,
There's a provision in the KPFA proposal that says that they don't activate the diversity requirement if the candidate to be moved up has less than a half or now less than a third of the votes of the person that he is to replace. Where is PAC on that?
We have no such provision.
Great.
No, you're next, so hold on to it.
Margalo.
No, Margalo passed.
It's you.
So on you now, baby.
Speak now forever, hold your peace.
This brings my first point, which is that the lab has already voted to support diversity requirements. That is the essential difference between the KPFK model and the KPFK model.
But would you tell everybody what the diversity requirements are coming out of the model that you are supporting?
The current support that we have is 50-50. I personally would like to see it higher as Dave Furtick does.
Yeah, but KPFA changed it to requirement.
But they have not. They say requirements, but it's not true because there is a threshold.
Oh.
And they... That's
because they do it on the back part, on the back end of it.
If it,
which is why I was saying candidates, diversity.
Candidates, I need to. That brings up my next point. If you have this threshold, and if we are extremely successful in outreaching to candidates, we get a number of candidates, the votes are split, and none of them reach the threshold. So if we do a really good job outreaching, we fail.
Why?
Because we have too many candidates. They've split the number of votes between them, and none of them meet the threshold.
which is
potentially possible.
It's more than potentially possible. It's a critical failure. And it's and we have voted against this concept that there will be. That's one reason we. And there's others. Let me go on and make a couple.
But then, what is your proposal?
No threshold, diversity requirements. That no matter what the people come up. Now, if somebody comes, some, let's say we got. Okay, let me go back a little and make. I'll say, put it this way, if a lab is extremely white male dominated, the threshold means that it will always be white male dominated. Particularly if you go and work really hard to get a whole lot of candidates to run. And the reason is that you'll get a whole lot of candidates that each get 10 votes, you get a whole bunch of white guys that each get 100 votes, and none of your browns and blacks make the threshold, which is 50. Or no, it's a third now, 33. So the whole thing is, no matter where this damn threshold thing is, it gums up the works forever if you got a really bad situation. So if you got a really bad situation, it fails. If you got, if you do a really good job on your outreach, it fails. And when Dave was bringing up his interesting point, which we need to at this point in my life, I can't deal with a whole nother concept, but it is certainly a very interesting concept. And I think it may have a great deal of merit to define the categories negatively.
Okay. Can I do a quick follow-up on that with the diagram? Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Basically, I don't know if you can see this.
No,
but
because you're in front of it.
Here's, let's say you have 100 white voters, and you have 10 candidates. Your threshold is 10 votes. All 10 white candidates get elected. Okay? So they each win a seat. They each win. Let's say you have 10 voters of color, but we do a really good job of outreach and we get 10 candidates. Each voter of and the vote splits between the 10. Each gets one vote. They don't reach the threshold. They don't get a seat. That's what we're talking about.
No,
does that make sense? Is that graphically clear?
No, but it doesn't make sense to me. Because if I could just address that. In the way this must be set up, it does not mean that the person who gets the most votes necessarily takes the seat.
No.
It does not mean that, because if a white guy gets 100 votes and there's a mandate that there be 50% people of color or 50% women, then there must be a formula where that high vote getter does not take the seat, but defers. Now, I'll refer again to the FML, and I'll have to get that model, because there was a person who got enormous numbers of votes but was not seated because his seat was given to a youth under 20.
The only difference, Don, is that under the KPFA model, that youth under 20 wouldn't get that seat unless they got X number of votes.
Well, that's not acceptable.
That's not acceptable. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, but what X number of votes? Where are you seeing the X number of votes?
It is, okay.
Like 70 votes.
But where did you get one-third?
70 fucking votes.
That's in the KPFA model
that I don't have
for me. Don, to answer your question, it is called standard transferable vote and choice voting. And there's a lot of terrific material on the web on that, and
we must use that because this is
what's going on. According to any model, we are going to have code quorum. That's what I think. That's what everybody is missing. Right. So there's a quorum.
A quorum of participation. Are you talking about
yes,
different quorums?
Voters' participation.
Right. Which
so
we're saying,
let's say
10%.
18,000 here.
Yeah. 10%.
That the quorum is 10%. So that's 1,800 votes. And that's what the calculation he did, that per person it would be like 200. So they
could
say, according
mic
to this
Farrah?
Model, KPFA
oh, yeah, where's
model,
the mic?
Harrison, could
Harrison,
you give
Farrah
the mic?
Somebody, anybody give Farrah the mic.
He is so
So what happens is, according to KPFA model, there is a threshold where it says that one-third of the 200 votes, and anybody who would be moving up into the STV, the proportional representation, needs to get at least one third of the required 200 votes, which would be like whatever.
66.
No, 66. That is not right.
No, no, that's what it is. That's what it is in the KPFA model. Now, this, they are suggesting that we should leave no threshold. That's
no third.
No one third.
No
yeah.
third, but keep 50%.
Yeah, they keep. Yeah,
no,
keep 50%.
No, you're not even saying.
They,
no, they say
no
that
threshold.
People
no
would
threshold.
Move up. Individuals should move up without any threshold requirement. That's what they're
saying. Yeah, can I clarify this? Excuse me.
The way this works, okay, is that let's say that Dede is running for the lab, and let's say that Lerner is running for the lab. Okay, let's say Lerner gets 100 votes. Okay, now Lerner's white, but the diversity standards of the KPFA model say that, well, there's not enough people of color yet on the lab.
You got to say that
based on 50% or based
votes got him elected,
on
right?
Based on 50%?
Hold on. Based on whatever. Hold on. Just give me a second. Give me a second.
It's all hypothetical.
It's all hypothetical, okay? So Lerner's got 100 votes, and that got him a seat, okay? But the diversity requirements haven't been met yet, or diversity standards haven't been met yet. So what it said, what the KPFA model says is that the next person of color in line has to have gotten at least
half of what?
One half
now
or
one
third. Hold on. At least one half or one third of what Lerner got. Okay? So Dede would have had to have gotten either 50 votes or 33 votes.
No, they don't have one half.
Just
they have one third.
Just let me explain, okay?
Keep it
being
all one half.
So if there are, let's say there's the number of voters, all right? Let's say there's 1,000 white voters, all right? And 100 of them vote for Lerner, so Lerner's in. Okay. Let's say there's 200 voters of color, and Dele gets, you know, 10% of that. Okay. What's he got? He's got 20 votes. Well, guess what? 20 is not a third of 100, and 20 is not even a half. And 20 is not a half of 100. So Dele doesn't get a seat. It breaks down. What happens is that the concentration, the way to look at it is that the basically, we'll put it this way: the white or majority votes concentrate, and the minority votes
dissipate. Okay.
Dissipate or fragment.
Okay,
right?
Raphael, Dave Adelson is next. I think you made three attempts at explaining this, Dave.
Did our best.
Good,
well done. What I don't understand is the notion that all those votes could go to those people, because if you said, and maybe this goes back to the thing that Bernie called sector, single transferable vote, but if you've identified that only a maximum number of seats are available to Anglo-Americans, again, why don't the votes from those people cascade down to these other candidates? So I can't understand how it could ever be the case. And I guess the answer is that's not how they do it. They don't do it by sector single transferable voting. But if you did it by sector single transferable voting, that problem goes away because the votes of the other people, once you got, you said 1,000 people and Lerner got 100, but once the fifth candidate from that pool got a certain number of votes, all the other votes cascade down to candidates of color, and therefore they would be above those thresholds.
Tom and Leslie? Dave was first.
Yeah, I want to point out that the KPFA model, I think Dave Adelson made a very important observation earlier, that you can get the most diverse body in the world, but if it still operates on bare majority ruling, then you haven't really achieved anything. Setting that aside, getting to that diverse body, KPFA has been successful. I understand they've only had to use this correcting mechanism two, maybe three times in the last few elections. And thus, I would argue that two things. First of all, that it works. Second of all, that we should remember we are not inventing the end of the world. We're inventing the beginning of an evolutionary process. Now let's try to create an environment that we can get to without having to go through millions and millions of more 18-hour meetings and actually start an election in a few months instead of having to try to manufacture and engineer some societally perfect world, which we'll never achieve, particularly if we spend all our life in meetings.
It should be mentioned why they put in this secondary thing. And that was because when they were doing the cascading, they did get to a point where they had some candidates who were up here with amount of votes. And then when they got to the next one, it was like 6 or 12 votes. And it was so far away from the hundreds of votes up there that they felt funny about that. Okay, that's why they put a minimum on it. That was the reason why they stuck that in. Number two is that it really, really helps if you do some homework regarding standard transferable voting,
single transferable voting,
IRV, and choice voting. Those are the kinds of things that we're talking about. It's extremely... when you try to explain it, it's very complex. But when you actually see it in black and white and they show you this is how this election would go, it makes sense. So I would suggest that any of you that have computers, you look into that stuff because it really does make a difference. Fairvote.org. FairVote.org. And you're looking for IRV, STV, and choice voting.
Oh, wait, who's next? Leslie.
You're also looking for proportional representation.
Yes.
And preference voting.
As I understand it, both Dave Adelson and Rafael Renteria are correct in this. Standard transferable voting by itself, single transferable voting by itself does not have thresholds. What the KPFA model has done is add these thresholds arbitrarily. Tom points out that the low vote getter got an incredibly low number of votes on one occasion that prompted this at KPFA. At the same time, to do that took a seat away from a person of color. No matter how low the vote was, that person did not get that seat. I believe, be able to support, without qualification, single transferable voting as long as it didn't have this threshold thing attached to it, which I think is a poison pill and is going to destroy, well, potentially could destroy our efforts at outreach in our community and inclusion.
Outreach is not at the voting level. Outreach is now, here.
One other thing about all these diversity requirements and proportional representation is the question of whether the majority faction of voters is still voting for the minority sector candidates, which is a really, you know, which we're finessing here. And I think STV, if I understand it correctly, leads to still the majority group selecting those minority group candidates. And that's not exactly the same as having your own representative. It's having somebody who is self-identified with your sector elected by other people. And that's where I would like to hear some of the discussion. I lack the sophistication in proportional representation mechanisms, but I know there are proportional representation mechanisms that lead to the opposite outcome.
Dave, you're wrong about that last point.
Am I?
Okay, so could you correct? Could you clarify?
Yeah, John.
No, please. I think so.
Wait. Okay, we have a stack. Harrison, John, and wait a minute. I think guess we're going to. We also have a listener stack, which I guess we're going to go to right now, obviously. That's what I'm saying. We have a listener stack, and we're going to go through. We can have. Who was it again? John Fairmars. You can add John Fairmars.
Can we say we have to have a vote at 5 o'clock or something? Since we
we'll
could
try another vote. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's
not even say 5 o'clock. Let's do after this round of listeners. Okay. We go to another vote.
If we're not going to have.
Only three of us. There's only three.
Excuse me. The bottom line, it seems to me, is that...
I know.
Yeah, please.
Right, exactly.
Could I speak?
That's why I didn't need to hide that.
It seems to me that the bottom line is that if we have this threshold, there's an opportunity, if there's a likelihood in certain cases that we won't meet the threshold and we won't achieve the diversity that we have set as our goal. This is a very complicated situation, and Dave Adelson has raised a couple of issues that I can't really deal with. But I am pretty sure that whether it happens frequently or whether it happens infrequently, if we have a threshold, we may not reach our goals. It seems to me that it's most likely to happen that we don't reach our goals when we need it most. Namely, if we have a situation where there are a lot of white voters who always vote only for whites and don't even fill out their ballot to the point where they select anybody, any people of color, we won't meet our goals. And if we are very successful and we split the minority vote with a lot of good candidates, we won't meet our goals. And that's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. If this won't happen frequently, then there's not a problem.
Okay.
We don't need the threshold.
Okay, I want to hear from John Fairmars and then Raphael, and then proceed with the stack, and then we're going to go to another vote. And then we have a whole bunch of electoral issues that we have to deal with.
I've been doing a lot of experiments reading about this, and from my reading, if you use single transferable voting in a proportional representation election for boards of legislatures, that sort of thing, that if everybody votes according to their skin color or their groupings, you get roughly the representation that are people. So if you have 20% people of color, and they all vote for people of color, you get 20% of the board members. It works. The numbers, it's not exactly, but it's within 5 or 10%. It's very close. It actually depends on the total number of board members. The vote splitting, Harrison, I believe, is a potential problem, but it tends not to be a problem because any particular flavor of Caribbean, where did you go there? Bella's particular flavor of Latinas. They talk to each other, you know, and they don't split their votes. They group them together in strategic ways. And so, I mean, they're just like everybody else. And so vote splitting is not as big a problem as you might think.
Thank you, Mark.
And the outreach, too, is another issue here. Not only do you need good outreach for the candidates, but you need good outreach for the voters. If you reach out into the KPFK basin and get lots of Latino voters and black voters and all whatever, and Persian voters, whatever voters you want, they become part of the electorate, and they are able to select candidates of their group if they wish. So the outreach is really the way to make it work. You only need the diversity criteria if your outreach fails. If it fails to getting diverse candidates and diverse voters.
Could you clarify that bit about STV? You said that I was wrong on?
Yeah, it works out mathematically. I haven't run the simulations. I've got the software on my program, on my computer, and I've been running some things, and I've run a couple of elections with some numbers and stuff. But from all the reading I've done, if you do selective transferable voting,
that we're doing even
it's also, it's also
silly,
called that.
Silly transferable. Is it really?
Yeah, it's called both. It's called both. And if you do that, then you basically, if for example, the electorate is 20% X and 80% non-X, and everybody votes according to whether they're an X or non-X, it all fails out. If there's 20%, roughly 20% of the people who are X, they can elect that number of that proportion of those board members. It really depends on how many board members you have. And for example, if you have 100 board members, you could be accurate within a percent. If you have 3 board members, you're accurate within 33%.
Okay, and I want to remind people that these conversations are going to go on probably for the next couple of months. So everything that you have to say does not have to be said today. However, today we actually, even with the second straw poll, have the vote in terms, but I'd still like to go to a third one on the hybrid model. And so we'll continue through this list. And I saw Casey came in, so anytime you want to chime in, please feel free to do so. Please, why don't you have a seat in the front? No. But right now we do have a mini stack and a major stack. Okay, Fairmars.
I think a lot of the points that were raised here were good ones in terms of the potential for loss of diversity. And I'd like to cite a specific example of where that has occurred. However, I don't think that the proposed solution, removing the thresholds, is necessarily the way to do it. Here's an example of how single transferable voting broke down. When we had our listener elections for the search committees back in the summer, we had a situation where the composition of people who came to vote was, you know, let's say overwhelmingly white. We had a more diverse set of candidates than we did of an electorate. And we used single transferable voting, and the outcome was that none of the people who actually got elected to the search committees were non-white. So that is a real situation that could occur. However, instead of removing thresholds, we could use cumulative voting as another alternative. And I think it is worth mentioning that if there is such a great a disparity as what Tom Camarello had mentioned, where you drop from hundreds of votes to, you know, single votes or, you know, dozens of votes, whether those individuals, you know, who may be great individuals, are really representing the constituencies that they're putting themselves forward for. And I think we do need to take that into consideration. And I would like to suggest that the board take a good look at cumulative voting as another potential option.
Margalo?
Wait, we have a list.
Margalo, Casey, and Luis.
And then Raphael.
And Raphael.
No, I wasn't.
We're next? No, I know, but you've been talking on and on. These are all other key input we have to have. You're going to go next.
I'd like to make a comment.
You already have that committee, you know, has already has plenty of input. You'll get your time, Raphael. You'll get your time, and you'd never make your time, your point, in a succinct and timely manner, so...
I just wanted to talk about the unity proposal. If we have the requirement that every board that's a part of Pacifica has to have 50% minority and 50% women, then we can figure out a way to jigger around the voting that's single transferable. And if we have to, because the numbers don't work out right, we can figure out a way to remove a threshold. But I think we need to keep clear in our mind that what we all voted on was to have that as an absolute requirement, and every other thing that goes with elections comes underneath that requirement.
Thank you, Barbara.
Casey? Dave took Casey. He may never return. Okay, Luis, Raphael.
Casey.
Well,
it's your turn.
Well, now Luis is going to go ahead, okay, and then you can.
Okay, first, communities of color split their votes just like anyone else. Single transferable voting for the the proportional representation part of it is good, and I would be for that, but I do feel that it's absolutely necessary to get rid of any thresholds at all. The number of candidates of communities of color.
So did you change your position?
Okay,
you
next is Raphael.
Can I clarify the question?
Okay, what was it?
I was in favor of the hybrid model insofar as it allows for communities of color to nominate our own people into the election process.
Would that also be facilitated if we had a 50% diversity requirement for the candidates?
I'm especially in favor of that, yes, as well.
Okay, so that it could be part of that, not necessarily the overall hybrid model. Okay, Raphael. Yeah, okay.
Okay, the way this breaks down in practice at KPFA is something else altogether, and... For example, there is a very low representation of Asian Americans, Asian Pacific Island Americans, either on the lab or in programming at KPFA. If you have this kind of system, you've got to understand there's only about two representatives on the program council from the lab. Okay, so no matter how many Asian Americans got elected to the lab, which they're not there, and with this, and because there's no programming for Asian Americans, there's never a voter pool, and so there's never candidates, and so you have a situation because the lab is not on the program council. Asian Americans will always be locked out of programming, systematically locked out of programming forever, okay? Because without the lab being on the program council, without the program council being part of the lab, as it, and it is not part of the lab in the KPFA model, okay, you end up in a situation where those who don't have programming can't generate voters, can't generate candidates, and can't get on the lab to change the programming. And in the KPFA model, even if they got on the lab, they wouldn't be in a position to change programming. And so you have an endless, repetitive cycle where a minority group that is not represented can never be represented, okay? Or is likely to never be represented, is crippled in developing both the candidate pool and the voter pool and any kind of listenership for their programming because they can't exercise the influence. Because under the KPFA model, the program council is dominated by the staff, not by elected anything.
Okay. Next. Where's Casey? Oh, Casey. That pink shirt, you're easy to find, actually. Yes.
Sorry, I haven't really been in on this discussion.
Casey, why don't you introduce yourself and what you
Casey
do?
Casey Peters. I'm with Californians for Electoral Reform, which promotes proportional representation and instant runoff voting. We helped to get IRV passed in San Francisco earlier this year. And we also administered the election at KPFK.
KPFA.
There are some problems with that. There's different ways to achieve the 50% requirements, both for gender and ethnic diversity. I believe that there was not a whole lot of there's some displeasure, let me put it this way, with the way things worked out at KPFA, because some of the minorities who were elected got elected with very few votes, and people felt they did not necessarily represent the community, which comes back to the question of outreach, and the earlier comment was correct that you have to make sure that you do outreach to potential candidates and to the listener sponsorship, to make sure that people really participate. That's the key to it. No matter what election system you use, the idea of a threshold is that each person on the board represents the same number of people, if you have the 50% requirement, then you're not going to have a board that's more than 50% white or more than 50% male, because that's built into the system.
So it, as the minimum, it really becomes your maximum? Is that what you're saying?
The maximum for the opposite.
You mean it's not possible for you to fail in diversity and reaching your goal with threshold?
Well, you can fail if you don't have an appropriate array of candidates. Yes. And somebody else pointed out,
there's a strong tendency for whites to vote for themselves?
If you have 10 seats to fill and only 5 of them can go to white candidates, then after those seats are filled, then other white candidates would be passed over as you're distributing votes. They would be treated as candidates who had been eliminated.
But the threshold aspect means that you may fail in the diversity.
No, that's not at all true. The threshold actually ensures that you will do that.
Huh? Only if it's low enough.
Well, the size of the threshold is based on the number of seats that are open.
What?
Yes. If there's only one seat that's open, your threshold is 50% plus one. If there are nine seats that are open, your threshold is 10% plus one.
We're not talking about the number of votes required to gain a seat. We're not talking about that threshold.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by threshold then. But
the threshold by which the compensatory mechanism is triggered, whereby a person with lower votes is then advanced because they're...
Well,
it was the second KPFA election.
The way you would do it is, if all the white seats, for lack of a better term, are filled, then the candidate, then